Live from the old Austin Opry House in Austin, Texas, it's the After Reality TV Podcast.
This is the final rose, final rose tonight.
But first.
When people stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Good job, Mr. Spoken.
Killed it. Good job.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to After Reality. I'm Spencer Kitley. Tonight, joined by good friend of the podcast and reality TV crew veteran, Mr. Will Simmons. Will, what's happening?
What's up, man? Ready to get into this.
What a great week of reality TV. We'll kick it off with The Bachelor. We've been doing that for 6 weeks now. The Challenge is back, the favorite of the podcast. And, of course, there's plenty of other things going on. You have Are You the Ones going on MTV. There's plenty of Bravo content. We've kind of beaten that horse to death on the podcast. But I'm excited to dive in tonight. We're going to focus in on The Bachelor and The Challenge. We may throw in a thing or two there else, but maybe some Summer House. We are drinking BBCs tonight.
BBCs.
It was a great week in reality TV. I want to remind everybody before we get going, follow us on Twitter, at After Reality Pod. Like the After Reality TV podcast page on Facebook. Leave us a comment on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you're listening to us. There's some good stuff going on in reality TV. The Challenge premiere, very strong. And then something we've never seen before on The Bachelor this week.
Two for ones. Two for ones, basically, right? Yeah.
It's a 2-for-1 or a 2-for-none?
Yeah.
Or a 2 for... However you want to look at it, the 2-on-1, we've never seen two of those in one season. We're going to dive into that. The Challenge, though, really promises to be, I think, maybe one of the best ones we've seen in a long time. I really like the cast.
Yeah, and TJ even said this is the hardest one, and I have to say that the first couple things we saw, the first actual non-elimination challenge and the actual elimination challenge, were pretty rigorous right off the bat. So it was that's great to see. Yeah. They didn't take it easy.
So harkening back a little to the island.
Yeah.
But also with the promise of really kind of blowing things out. I can't wait to see the look on those fools' faces when Bananas and CT and Zach and Laurel come walking in. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. I like the way they kind of teased it, too, when they were sitting around talking about it. Theo, Nelson, and Corey were kind of just teasing exactly what it would be like if those guys were here and who they respect. And it's like, well, you really respect them when they show up in your face, though?
And then said that Bananas, well, he's nothing compared to CT.
Which, it's true, but
Bananas, well, Bananas has the wins.
He has 6-1.
Yeah, CT has one with Wes.
Yeah, which...
Solid team.
Very solid. Also, CT might have the biggest moment outside of Johnny's ending of last season when he literally manhandled Johnny across that gauntlet.
CT
challenge.
Wasn't even on that season.
No.
He was a mercenary.
Yeah.
Him and Tina.
Tina, that's right.
And I want to get into this. When we're going to talk Bachelor first, but
yep.
I want to get into what cast members would need to be there to make this the perfect season.
Wow.
So think about that.
Yep.
We'll get into it.
Good call.
Going to kick things off, though, with The Bachelor. We picked up right where we left off last week. That was with Taylor, who she didn't want to go home. Coming back to confront Nick, we've seen this move before. It never goes well. Why do men and women continue to pull this move when it makes you look so much worse than you did if you just went home?
Yeah, I don't know. If only just to ruin Corinne's day, then it worked out. But then again, Corinne's still there. I still think Nick likes her for some reason or another, but yeah, I mean, it might be a fantasy suite deal kind of thing with Corinne, but she's still there, and Taylor's not, and Taylor really became overbearing after a while. Like, I think she actually burned a lot more bridges than she thinks she did.
Yes. One of the girls says, hey, I really thought Taylor had a leg up going into the 2-on-1, and my immediate snide comment was, haha, little did she know Corinne had two legs up on the 2-on-1.
That's clever.
But she comes back. She wishes Nick would have said, no, I'm good. But it's just, I don't understand why she's there talking to Nick about the manipulation. She's trying to bury Corinne after the fact. You have no skin in the game. Just go out with the little bit of dignity that you do have left.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't help that Corinne is hammered on this date.
Yeah.
She's perma-hammered.
Yeah, it's very true. Also, like to note about Taylor, it was very awkward when she was told she wasn't being chosen because the way it shot was Taylor ends up walking away and the other two stay at the table, and as you see those two leaving the table, you see Taylor walk back into frame because she actually had nowhere to go. It looked like she was forced to go the same way out that everyone came in.
It's like when you're watching an award show and the person walks off the wrong way and has to go all the way back.
They're just like, why are you still here? This is really embarrassing. Yes. Just go away. Yeah. But one question for you is, if you've ever been to New Orleans, that's a long ways to be walking around in the middle of nowhere to find out where those people are, right? Like, I've been in that area. It's not exactly a safe area, so...
I'm trying to remember where they were.
Then, the warehouse district along the river. Okay. But how far do you think she walked to find them?
I often wonder that on every season. Do you remember the scene in... What season was it where the guy was walking through the European streets calling out the bachelorette's name?
Yes. For, like, a while.
Was that Sean Lowe that did that?
Huh. Maybe. Maybe.
Although that doesn't really seem like a real Sean Lowe type
move. It doesn't. I feel like whoever it is had that... I feel like I can see that person in my head. It looks like Sean. It may not be him, but
yeah.
A lot of those guys look alike anyway, so...
But that was kind of the icing on the cake, or the kind of the creme de la creme of this scenario, where the guy's walking through the streets of Europe...
Calling the name.
Calling out for Ali or Dez or Jillian or whoever it was.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you next week on that one.
Yeah, all I know is it wasn't a safe place for Taylor to be walking by herself. Obviously, she's with the camera crew, but good for her.
Well,
she made it.
You always stand out with the camera crew. It's like, I've been watching the show Hunted on CBS. These people are being hunted by, like, people that have done this professionally for a living, from CIA, from Homeland Security, the FBI. And it's got to be, to a certain extent, hard to blend in. When you have a camera crew following you around.
Yeah, always is. Always is.
So, Cocktails and Roses. We entered Rochelle, Corinne, Danielle M. They're all good. No cocktail party. The usual suspects get the roses. And finally, Jamie, Josephine, and Alexis go home.
Finally.
I understand producers have some hand in what's going on, but there's no reason these girls have lasted as long as they have.
No. Now, did you notice Jamie didn't have her nose ring in on her final rose?
I did notice this. Did she just have it sucked up inside?
Maybe. Or like she turned... I don't know what she did, but it was...
She has some trick, because we saw that on night one.
Yeah, it's true. That's very true. I'm glad that kind of happened. You kind of trim the fat on that one. It's weird it took so long. And they went hard. I mean, you went three right off the bat. I mean, like, that was a pretty strong move.
Yeah. I have to think Alexis... We're not done with her. I think we see Alexis this summer.
Yeah, definitely a paradise.
And she should probably wear a shark suit or a dolphin suit.
Oh my god!
Maybe she can. Maybe she can bump up to a dolphin suit for the summer. I can put a message into Jorge.
Yeah, but we do lose the great outtake of her at the end of the episode. Now that she's gone,
she's owned that.
Yeah, and it's honest. It's kind of sad that we didn't see more of that, because that would have broke up some of the other mundane kind of conversations she had with other women that are still around or were there too long. At least she was interesting to listen to.
Well, she's kind of owned it to the extent of, do you remember when the guy, Jeff, that wore the mask, I think he was on Emily Maynard's season, that he wanted to be judged for his personality and not for how he looked. And he made he was the outtakes guy every episode. It was crushing when he finally went home.
Yeah. Hey, you make a living off it, I guess.
We need to bring that guy back. He's a often forgotten part of Bachelor lore.
They should throw him on Paradise this summer with her.
And a mask.
Yeah, and a suit. Shark outfit.
Yeah. We know about tan lines, but we're going to need you to wear that mask.
Yeah.
All right. So we had a group date, which was... kind of really the heavy hitter group date, if you will. It was Rachel, Raven, Vanessa, Corinne, Danielle M., and Jasmine.
Yeah.
And there's really two main parts of this date. And I want to talk about the kind of this first part, the loves of beach time, play cornhole, some 3-on-3 volleyball, course taking shots. Of course, Corinne is drunk and needs a nap. But what happened? I didn't catch on. Like, there was this big storyline of, like, all the women are spread out across the beach, like, sulking. But I didn't catch on to what it was that they were all so put off by on this date. Did you?
The only thing I could gather was that these women have been chomping at the bit for a time, and now a lot of these girls I consider contenders at this point. I feel like they were probably thinking they should have gotten more time with him, and this was just kind of a BS way to spend time with them. But Nick went in with, like, this is going to be awesome. Not awesome. It was probably the most awkward group date I've seen in a long time, too.
Well, they're like, we're not into playing games or volleyball games. Yeah. Like, just
play.
It's not that bad. Yeah. It's not like he made you play football.
No. It's pretty
easy. Which has happened.
It is a... Doesn't everyone like being on a beach? This is a very typical beach thing to do.
I just didn't get it.
It was painful to watch at times. And people just started quitting. Corinne was being pulled away from the bar. Rachel just decides to quit. Jasmine's being really touchy-feely and
Vanessa,
aggressive.
Jasmine, and Danielle are all crying.
Ugh. This is just awful.
I was very distracted watching them playing beach volleyball and them at the beach. I kept thinking Danielle had, like, mud all over her or something, but she had, like, she's having, like, laser tattoo removal or something.
Is
like,
that what it is?
Yeah, like, it was very faded,
yeah.
But it was, like, it looked like you wanted to just, like, wipe it off.
I actually paused my screen and went up to the TV and looked closer, and I thought, it's gotta be just sand mud on her, you know, it's kind of like dirt on her, but, yeah, that makes sense now.
Yeah, laser tattoo removal. And I tracked it down, saw it on Instagram. She's a model.
Okay.
And it was
I thought she was a doctor.
She modeled.
Oh, gotcha.
They all model.
Yeah, of course. Who doesn't?
She's a neonatal nurse.
Right.
But it was a solid, like, I don't know, 4x6
wow.
text box. Okay. So she's having some painful tattoo removal on her rib cage.
Wow. Of all places, that's a touchy subject there.
Yeah. So they go into the nighttime portion of this date, and this is where Jasmine just loses her mind.
It's a meltdown.
I don't know why Jasmine's still there. Nick doesn't really seem into her. I'm thinking this whole time, I was like, she's just bogarting this date.
Yeah.
She needs to go home. And she's making, like, Corinne look a little subdued at this point in time.
Yeah, very much so.
I think Corinne's afraid of her. Corinne's silent.
Yeah.
Side by side, silent.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little intimidation factor in there. I mean, Jasmine seems like a pretty upfront and very herself. I found her pretty genuine on the show, and then just watching her meltdown, I'm like, I kind of like you. I wish you wouldn't fall apart like this.
Yeah. All right. It's never silent, but...
Yeah. It was really rough. This episode was so hard to watch at points, and it's so amazing at the same time. But, like, the lows were just... It was hard. It was, like, really good reality TV at such a low level. I was like, wow, this is done well, but in such a terrible way. I found myself, like, cringing a lot.
Yeah.
And then getting excited.
Well, let's talk about the conversation, though, she had with Nick. She likes him so much, but she wants to choke him
now. And then kept going after him to do it.
And then, it was pretty much insinuating wanting to have sexual relations with him and choke him.
Yeah. Which he wasn't into.
Was not. She's nuts.
Yeah.
And he was so done with her. Really not a surprise. Thank you, Nick, for getting her out of there at that point in time.
Yep.
The one part of this nighttime date I did like was the one-on-one time with Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a Rachel fan from the beginning. He kind of talks her off the ledge about his own time on The Bachelorette. And I loved that her response to him saying, let me know when something's not right. And her response was, oh, I'll let you know how I'm feeling. And it may be sassy.
Yeah.
I think Rachel's in a good spot.
But also, yeah, she. I think she's in a good spot. I think that episode, though, you saw her kind of start
feeling
like maybe there's. It's not exactly what she thinks it is, but typical. I mean, like that's kind of the rotation, right? You get a real big high, and you can only come back down to the middle or lower. Yeah,
when you start sharing your toys,
yeah, it's you just don't want to. But I think she's in a good spot out of all of them. But I have another question for you, but I want to make sure we get to the next 2-on-1 before we.
Oh, okay. We had another day. We had a one-on-one with Christina. I keep getting surprised by Christina. Like, I just...
Yeah.
I'm never impressed with her, but this week... Well, first off, I think she looks different every time I see her. It's not even, like, the same person. in the ITM, in the moments, or if she's got her hair back, if she's at a cocktail party... She looks different person to me every time. But what I want to talk about here is we get to learn a little bit about her. She's a Russian orphan, mm-hmm. adopted at 12 years old. Her mom had left her at 5 or 6 years old. She was eating lipstick.
She left their house at 5 or 6.
Yeah.
She walked out, yeah.
Nick is so into her, quote, story, to borrow from... our friend Kelsey Poe. I think he's confusing it with being into her.
Yeah. This kind of feeds in the question I'm going to ultimately ask you, but I get that he genuinely was into that story, but I didn't see like this romantic feeling.
He was so leaned in around that story and asking questions.
But I think it's also, she probably is the most interesting backstory that he's probably dealt with in this group, so it's not somebody that's grown up in American whatever where they are now. She's actually done a lot for herself at a very young age, and that's impressive. So I think it does kind of pull at his heartstrings a little bit, but I think she's great. I think she's also one of the best people on the show, but I don't know if this is a good match based on him, because she's great. I think she'd be great for some guys, but I don't know about
him. I think he may be a little too fast. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, just like he's got a much faster pace of life, I feel like, than what she does.
She lives in the middle of nowhere, Kentucky, too.
Okay.
So,
I'm glad you said that, because I was wondering, I couldn't remember where she
It's Kentucky. Maybe it's Lexington, for all I know, but I think it was a smaller town than some of the mainstream Kentucky places. So, also on top of that, she's in kind of a smaller place. I mean, even from big city in Kentucky, what does that mean, right? Compared to where he's living.
Yeah, absolutely. I almost vomited when Nick relates her black and white to color story, to bring color to his life. I mean, good for her. Nick's into it.
Yeah.
I don't think... How far does she go?
Well, I think she's in my final two right now.
Final two
between she and Corinne is all I have left at this point. But
oh, you're talking about your fantasy
team? League, yes. But she was one of my higher picks to start off with. I just liked her look, and her bio was
didn't even know she was Russian at that point, did you?
No, but I've just kind of liked her since. She seems very genuine, but I do think that ultimately her downfall is her Russian background, being that she's going to be a little too stiff and a little too maybe. Not as loose as some of these other girls, not in a sexual way, but just not as adventurous and kind of like go with the flow.
Not as outgoing.
Yeah, she's going to be a little more tight about stuff. And if she can break through that, I think she'd be perfect. But I think as she talks, you could tell she's very, very stern and very stiff in a lot of ways. And I think Nick's needs somebody a little more casual.
So we're down to final six right now. Yeah. Does she make the final four?
At this point, I think she's a great contender for final four.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I feel like it's the final six. I think it's one of the strongest final sixes we've had in a long time. Maybe ever.
Maybe.
And really final eight, if you included Danielle and Whitney, and that's where I'm going next. Unprecedented. Two of these two-on-one dates in one season. However, this one's different because the girls get along.
Yeah, and one's actually been on a one-on-one before. Actually, in one.
Went on a one-on-one, got a rose.
Won the Backstreet Boys competition.
Yeah. Been on stage dancing twice.
Yeah.
Something must have really gone sideways with that relationship. But Whitney finally got some screen time. We hadn't really seen Whitney.
No.
Whitney was one of my top picks from first glimpse of the roster of the women.
Yeah. Agreed.
He tells her she's really beautiful. Thanks for stating the obvious, Nick. Tells her that she's someone calming to spend time with. That doesn't sound reassuring when that's how you couch things. Does it?
No. No. It sounds like you're, you might be boring, is another word to say that. I don't know. Like, I didn't get a very positive connotation, you know, meaning out of that. Yeah.
Then D'Lo, as the girls call Danielle Lombardi.
Also one of my highest picks.
She was very popular in the league that we play in together on Fantasy for Reality. Was owned out of 6 out of 8 teams. He seems to think their relationship has puttered out a little bit based on the conversation. But then he gets up in the middle of the conversation, walks off, goes and breaks up with Whitney.
Yeah.
He seems reluctant, though, in my opinion, not to give Whitney a rose. Did you get that vibe?
Because you see the rose next to the bed when he walks back toward her, and I'm like, he's going to give her the rose and just like tell Danielle to peace out. But
I thought that was
about to happen. Yeah. But I also, at this point, knowing how reality TV shows work, would you give Whitney that little screen time to have her actually win a rose over someone that has won a screen, actually has a lot of screen time and actually gotten somewhere in the show? Like, would you really do that? Because then that story is like, well, why'd you pick her? You don't even know her. We don't know her. Why would you pick her? So that was to her detriment as well. It was kind of an obvious move, but it did give me an idea of like, this is possible.
Yeah. Everything is possible! But seems really unsure about it.
Yeah, that's obvious.
more so really than any time this season, I feel like, that he's felt unsure about something. Including later on, I thought at this point, I thought it was strange that we didn't see him give Danielle a rose at this point in time. Little did we got to see more later, but instead they fly away in the chopper.
Yeah.
Called the chopper. I've been wanting to watch The Apprentice this season, but I can't make that kind of a commitment. It's 2 hours per episode.
Ugh.
I don't want to watch it because Ricky Williams is on it. I have them all recorded. I've watched one. I can't commit to watching.
I mean, Trump said they weren't very good, so what are you going to do?
He would probably know. He's executive producer.
He's good at that. But I agree. I thought that if you're going to get rid of Whitney right there, then you would just give Danielle the rose and be done, right? Like, just be done with it. We're going to go on our date and be done.
Right. But we're already in uncharted water.
Yeah, we haven't seen this.
Nighttime portion, he does not seem into her at any point of that date. Horrible body language.
Mm-hmm.
He mumbles, right? But he gets the extreme mumbles when he's not feeling it. Really wanting to rekindle that first date. It's just not happening. Asking her for the raw, adventurous woman. And bam, another one bites the dust.
Yeah, his question was, what are like couple characteristics like you want or whatever? And she responds with the exact opposite of what he's looking for. And I'm like, you were totally played. You were never going to answer that question right. And if you did, he would probably still find a hole in that.
Yeah.
But he looked like he was almost sick. Like, it almost looked like he was
the resting Nick the Dick face.
Yes. He almost looked like he was like actually physically sick sitting there the whole time. He just looked super uncomfortable, terrible body language, like you said. And she is like telling him everything that he should want to hear.
Yeah.
Everything. And she's pretty, and she's like, actually affable, and she's very...
They're making me ask you questions. Yeah. I really don't care what you say.
And it was, once again, another brutal moment of this show where it's like, wow, this is a very real moment, and this is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Again.
If the shock of them both going home wasn't enough for the girls, Nick then comes to the hotel in tears and tells everyone about it. Tells him, doesn't know how he's going to keep doing this. Gets up, walks out the door. Which is...
Yeah.
Concerning. Gives you pause for cause.
Like, even Corinne looks stunned. And she's usually the one that's like, oh, yeah, whatever. She looked a little worried.
Yeah. Maybe she hadn't had enough booze.
Yet.
Wait, so you had something you want to talk about around the two-on-one?
Yeah, so my final question is... Is there anyone in this house that is safe? Like, that is actually safe? Because after that talk he has with those girls, they literally put it on the line that I might not feel any of you right now. Who or do you think there is someone that is actually destined for this, or does it feel like it's going to be a stumbling block for the next few weeks until the final rose?
I think there's one woman that's in a better place than everyone else.
Rachel?
Rachel's probably two, in my opinion. Oh. But I think Vanessa is.
Wow.
I think she's so similar to these strong personality women that we've seen him with in the past.
Yeah.
And she's great looking. She's smart. She's like takes care of, or she's a special education teacher.
Yeah. She seems real.
She's almost too normal to be on the show.
Yeah.
I think maybe one strike against her, she lives in Canada.
Yeah.
And contrary to what the Bachelor producers want you to believe, Nick does not live in Chicago. Nick lives in LA.
Yeah, very much so.
So
no, I think she has a good shot, but once again, we've only seen her
puking in a bag.
Yeah, we had that one really good date with her that he ended up kissing her after he made out with, after she puked, and then also her standing up to him,
which everyone should do,
of course. I mean, it's once in a lifetime chance. But she also has that moment where she called him out at that pool party thing about Corinne. Was like, if that's who you're going after, then you don't want me. And she laid on the line from that very point. But we really haven't seen much of her since. And then she was throwing a fit at the volleyball game.
I feel like it's kind of the leader fades and then comes back production move.
Because I don't think he's been on a date that I thought he really enjoyed since Rachel in New Orleans. And even then, I thought that was the best date he had.
He had a good one-on-one with Raven, but I guess that was before Rachel.
Yeah.
Was it maybe the same episode?
It was earlier either way.
Yeah.
It wasn't in New Orleans, because the one with Rachel...
I think she's kind of a sleeper.
She seems like she's... I like her, actually. I didn't really know if I'd like her, but after a while, I really appreciate... I think she's very genuine, which she is.
Yeah.
But...
Could she be the Bachelorette if she didn't win?
Maybe.
Could any of them be the Bachelorette if they don't win?
I like Christina. I think Christina would make for a pretty good Bachelorette. Just because she's interesting, I think. Like Nick said.
Just because she's more innocent than typical?
Yeah.
And I've asked Matt Gray this. I've asked Dan this. Could Rachel be the Bachelorette?
I'm going to say no. And it's stupid, because I think she'd be great, but I think, honestly, I think she wouldn't do it. I think she's too level-headed. I think because she has a real career.
Right.
I just think her background probably would not fit for a Bachelorette season. So I think she's one and done after this, but I do think Nick has a genuine feeling toward her. But then again, after that walk into that room, I don't know who really he likes at all.
I mean, I've been a Danielle M fan from the get-go. She might. I don't know if she has personality to be the Bachelorette, but
she seems a little bland to me. Yeah. She seems a little too.
There's probably a really good chance that if Vanessa doesn't win, that it's her.
Good shot. Good shot at that.
We've had several. We've had Jesse Palmer, Canadian. We've had Jillian, Canadian.
Yeah.
I feel like there's maybe one other Canadian. They're either from Canada or Texas.
My vote for Bachelorette next season is Astrid. I'm a big fan.
I feel pretty confident that one's not going to happen.
I know. I'm still disappointed she got sent home, because you kept Whitney around and they're like almost identical in ways. And I'm just like, well, Asher, I think it was probably cooler, but whatever. That's just my call.
She wasn't a Pilates instructor.
Was not. But so my question to you is there, once again, is there anyone you think you think Vanessa's like it, like she could be it for him?
I think so.
That's it. Like, that's out of that's the most viable one.
I think at this point in time, if I had to put a stake in the ground and be like, I think it's either her or Rachel.
It's a good call. That's a good call.
And you're in on Christina.
I say Christina, and honestly,
as having the best shot right now.
Right now, I think she's going to outlast a few other people, because I think he really got to know her more than he knows other people. But I still will not put Corinne away just yet.
She may have some tricks.
I also
tricks have, up her sleeve.
Like you, I've stalked a few people in this group here and through Instagram. Nothing weird, but they all kind of hang out. And Corinne is actually more friendly with these girls than lets on the show. Yeah. So I'm like, maybe this she plays it up a little more on the camera than we see, and those girls, some may hate her, like Taylor actually hated her, but I think some of those other girls actually genuinely like her and just kind of like let her be retarded or whatever she is, yeah. And then she just reels it back when she's like, away.
Yeah, like Josephine and her seem to be pretty good friends, although Josephine kind of seemed to be that character that we typically have on every season that's kind of the one that's friends with everyone.
Right. Yeah.
Which, maybe that puts her in paradise. Maybe not.
I hope not.
Yeah. Not real excited.
I don't
seem
much invested in her either. You know, yeah. That's her slapping Nick at that date. You know,
you'll probably get Astrid in paradise.
Let's do it.
Sign you up. But anyhow, I'm looking forward to next week. There's six left. Before we wrap this up, take a quick peek over at, we'll do something a little different instead of the league that Dan and I play in on Fantasy for Reality. We'll take a look at the league that you and I play in, and I'm in pretty good shape.
Yeah,
I have five of the final six women after losing Danielle and Whitney this week. You took a hit.
Did. Down to Corinne and Christina, which I think I have viable, like, a lot of points there, potentially.
Great points. I mean, and you had others up until this week.
Yeah.
So you're sitting in fourth place. I am at the top of the heap, about 800 points ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling pretty good about that.
You should.
So
I'm not going to call collusion on this since you know Rachel, but whatever.
The only reason I picked her is because I knew her.
Fair enough.
Yeah, if you're not playing fantasy games, the new challenge game over there. Of course, Bachelor's still going on. They like to do Top Chef, Survivor. Even did Big Brother last season over at Fantasy, the numeral 4, reality.com. Our good friend Matt Gray and his team do a great job over there. And speaking of the challenge, Will, near and dear to your heart, a veteran of how many seasons of The Real World?
Five.
Did, worked five seasons on the crew. I don't even know. Are anybody on Invasion from your seasons? I guess Zach and Ashley.
That might be it. There's no one from Portland. There's no one from second San Diego. No one from second.
Well, that is the second San Diego.
Oh yeah, sorry. Nobody from second New Orleans.
Right.
No one from second Las Vegas.
Right.
Surprised
Nani's not on.
Yeah. It's actually surprising there's a lot of people, like veterans, that aren't around right now. Like,
I wonder if Nani's having a baby or something. That seems like the only reason Nani wouldn't be there.
That's true. I'm just glad her cousin isn't there this year. She's,
crazy eyes?
Yeah, she's hard to look at.
Oh, crazy eyes!
Yeah. But I think this cast is really solid, minus my personal preferences.
Your personal prejudice against Ari the One?
Prejudice is a better way to say it. Yeah, I do not like Ari the One, even though I am a fan of Dario and Nelson at this point, just because I've got to know them. Nelson a little more after this first episode than last season, because he kind of came in late.
He's from Austin.
He's from Austin, I guess, but Dario's been around long enough. He's held his own. He's going to be kind of a weasel last season, but he can hold his own. I respect that.
There's a couple of those newbie Are You the One guys that seem like they might be able to hold their own a little bit in physically.
Physically, yeah. I think mentally those guys are going to be whipped.
Yeah.
Especially when the vets come in. Yeah.
So, I mean, we have a pretty solid group of people already there.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Tony Raines. We got Nicole. Who love both of them. They're great,
yep.
TV. Jenna's there. Corey's there. And then we have the champions coming in.
Yep.
And we don't have to repeat them all, but I mean, it's a really good group of champions. I mean, the only improvement for me there is if Sarah's there instead of Ashley Kelsey.
Yeah, that was kind of a surprise.
Or Rachel Robinson.
Yeah.
Those are, like, for me, those are the two, like, girls that I would wish to be there if I was wishing for others to be there.
Yep.
Guys, it's a pretty good group of guys. I mean,
yeah.
If we could bring back Mr. Beautiful, that'd be amazing. If Wes was there,
Wes would be high on that list as well.
I'd like to have those guys. Of course, I always long for Mark Long to return. Course.
He's got to be too old at this point.
But he's more fit than all these guys.
Great shape. His little juice thing, whatever it is going well.
Pocket protein.
Yeah, great.
So you see the wonders it's done for Cara Maria? Yeah, she's a prime user of pocket protein.
I'm pretty impressed with this lineup. I like the fact they chose underdogs that seem relevant to these challenges they're about to be thrown out there. Like you said, some of these guys are physically ready for this stuff. Some of the girls as well, like Kayla... was actually
I think Kayla and Jenna are the creme de la creme of the challengers.
Very much so. But Jenna, it's hard to say she's an underdog because she's been in how many finals?
And they know it.
And they all know it. So I don't even look at her as an underdog. I look at her she's just come out second.
It's her and Corey.
Yeah, that's it. And Corey's, he can do it all.
Yeah.
If his knees don't give out on him.
Yeah. Corey is a competitor. We didn't see a lot from Theo this episode. They seem to not like him, but I want him to prove his athletic prowess.
I'm just ready for him not to say what his cousin did to him again. I'm so tired of this story.
Or tell us how he should be in the NFL right now.
Yeah, you played at a small Division I college, dude.
Like Indiana State, I think. He went to two schools.
Was it a Michigan?
After he got kicked out of one, he went to another one.
Cool.
So it was like he wasn't done.
Yeah.
All right. Wait. That may not be right. I think he went to one and then transferred and then got in trouble right after he transferred.
And by the way, if you're an NFL talent, there's plenty of guys that did not finish college or did not play in Division I college that end up going pro and did pretty well. So do not blame that.
There are combines you can go and pay your money to participate in.
Yes, there's plenty of places you can go and get your game on.
Get your game on.
I'm just tired. I like the guy. I thought he was good in real world, and I was looking at him as a competitor in this because he's obviously gifted being a Division I quarterback, but quit talking and start doing some action here, man. Let's see it.
One of the guys, in addition to Darrell, who I'm pleasantly surprised how good a shape he looks to be in, he's got two kids, he's got a fiance, he's there for the money.
He is.
But one of the other guys I'm pleasantly surprised, who has one thing in common with Darrell that is there, is Shane.
Yes.
Two Road Rules guys.
Same season, too.
Yeah. We haven't had a Road Rules person in a while. May it rest in peace.
Yeah.
But Shane's divorced, and that's why he's back on the challenge.
He's also ripped. I don't know if you can tell. The guy looks just jacked up, too.
He was always, not always, in his latter seasons of the challenge, he had started getting in better shape.
Yeah.
He was a little flabby early on. I'm glad to have Shane there. I mean, and Shane's getting naked and running in the ocean with... I don't remember who it was with. Sylvia.
She can go away as fast as she came in. Please. She was annoying.
I wish it had been her instead of Bruno go home.
Bruno. Nicole and Bruno.
Now you just said Nicole and Bruno. They were
best friends.
They were homies in the house, and then they had a falling out, very end, didn't they?
Yeah, well, Bruno kind of burned a lot of bridges on the way out of that door. He was kind of just a dick for a long time in that house, but... Yes, they were super tight to the very end.
And then something happened. I don't remember what it was, but they had a huge falling out where it was just it's over. I'm breaking up with you.
Yeah. I think it might have been about his anger problems or something. It was something personal to him. But then again, he also fought with his brother over tuna fish.
So don't mess with Bruno's food.
Yeah. But it was kind of sad to see the guy go. Obviously, it's hard luck story. You're like, man, the guy's been living in a car. I don't know why you're living in a car. Your other friend, Nicole, lives in her parents' basement. Can you go ask to hang out in the basement for a little bit? You're such good friends. And the real world family's pretty tight.
And you guys could have just been cranking weights together.
Yeah. Because
that's obviously what Nicole's doing.
She's really ripped. She's
ripped up.
Yeah.
I want to see her and Cara in an arm wrestling contest.
That'd be pretty good.
They're about the same size,
then
too.
Then she'd make out with her. They teased it.
I was going to say, did you see? And Laurel.
Yeah.
The two Montanians.
Yeah. Cara's from Boston.
Cara's been living in Montana for a while.
With Abe.
And then Laurel's from New York, I think.
They've been there for a while.
They tease Laurel. She's like, yeah, I'm living in this tiny town in Montana.
Yeah.
I'm like,
what do you do?
You guys both live there now. Because they were rivals until Rivals 2.
That's right.
And then they won together and became buddies.
Yeah. Hey, winning changes things.
two of my favorites.
Yeah, no, they're strong. I mean, like, this is a truly exciting season. Oh, as is the challenge. We talk about the challenge with, this is like the creme de la creme of all of them. Like, as good as all the other reality TV is, Top Chef's like my favorite show, but the challenge trumps all.
Yeah, and it's every person for themselves this season.
Which is a good point.
Yeah, so Rickety Shelter is kind of harkening back, I think I mentioned earlier, to the island. We're in Thailand. We didn't say where. TJ always gives us the beautiful Phuket, Thailand.
Phuket,
but
yeah.
We didn't get a beautiful whatever Thailand.
Yeah.
They're all anticipating him showing up to help them. But he shows up. Not to help.
No, I loved it.
Hardest challenge ever. And I really liked how he sold it as the big dogs that usually win aren't here this time.
Yep.
Trickeration.
Yep. Sold them. Everybody bought it. Hook, line, and sinker, too.
Oh, they did.
So bought it.
We've been there for all of an hour or two, and Nicole's crying.
Yeah.
About, I guess, the girlfriend that broke up with her because she wanted to go on the show.
Mm-hmm. This is a theme with Nicole, though. She gets attached to people, because I think it happened to her in her Real World season, where she got attached to somebody, maybe previously before the show, or sometime on the show, but that did not work out, because guess what? Nicole is very much a guy when it comes to her relationships.
Play home, player.
So all she wants is just to keep playing.
Play home.
And surprisingly, people go for it all the time. I mean, like, and I think that's what I love about her, is that she comes out and puts it out there and gives it all, and I'm stoked to see her on this season. But yeah, I was kind of see her breaking down. I'm like, you're a little tougher than this.
Yeah. And speaking of her, I didn't even realize it until they pointed out there are four people there from the same season.
Skeletons. Not even a great season. That was not a great season. It was better of the newer seasons, but four?
Tell me if you have this problem. So between Explosion and Skeletons and Go Big or Go Home and
Bad Blood. It's all the same, isn't it?
I can't keep the season straight. I don't know who was on what season. Like LaToya? I don't know what season she was on.
St. Thomas.
Was she St. Thomas with Marie?
Yep. Who are forgettable. That's one of the worst seasons of all time.
Of the season or the city theme season?
Yeah. Pretty bad.
And even like until Tony was like, when we were in Chicago, I was like, I didn't remember where Skeletons was.
Yeah. That's why I was, I want to say Chicago, but I wasn't quite sure. Yeah. No, and obviously, Sylvie was boring during that season. She was just a loudmouth that kind of started trouble with, like, just ran her mouth. But Nicole, Bruno, and Tony were probably the three biggest personalities in the house.
There was Madison.
Madison, but there was also one other girl that had an eating disorder.
The girl that had a tattoo inside her lip.
She was pretty, you know,
I liked
emotional.
Her.
Yeah.
She was awful, but I liked
her. Yeah, exactly. But
what's her name?
Exactly. This is how forgettable these seasons are. Tony sticks out. He's also from Louisiana, so I had a connection with that. So I kind of remembered him from
Chuck
the get-go.
Chuck Raines.
But, you know, he as much as I want to pull for that guy, he just constantly does things where you just like, I just don't want to give you my full confidence.
It's funny you bring that up. It's party time, and T. Raines is going sober.
Sober. It's a big change.
And then, well, he rolls out a bananas toast.
Yeah.
Out with the old and in with the new. Man, that's what the name of my fantasy team needs to be.
You should change it right now.
I need to go ahead and change that. Speaking of, like, these new roles, new characters, I have a pretty good memory. I have a really good memory, although I just said I can't remember who's on what season.
For reality, you have a very strong memory, though.
St. Thomas. I remember what Marie looked like. I remember Rob. I remember Trey. Was that his name?
Trey, yep.
And
he's been on a challenge.
And Laura.
Yeah.
And even Sway. Swift. Sway is the guy on MTV. They're both on MTV. But anyhow, I think Marie's had some serious work done to her face. Did you notice that she does not resemble the same person?
The wife and I both agreed.
Yeah.
Who is this? And then we were like, oh, yeah, it's...
I mean, if you're listening to this, punch up a picture of Marie St. Thomas cast and Marie Challenge cast, yeah. and it's...
No. Big
it's
difference.
It's like when Ashley Simpson had her face redone.
Yeah. She was... And that's the thing. She already That's already a forgettable season, very much so, but, like, seeing her, I was like, I feel like I know who you are.
It sounded like she was doing, like, decently at her career.
Yeah.
I don't... I mean, she could be over-exaggerating.
Yeah. She could be homeless with Bruno. Bruno.
Change spelling of Bruno's name.
Yeah.
But anyhow, lots of subplots going on. I want to get to the challenge, though. Yeah. I really, really liked the challenge.
That was a good one. It's a good starter.
I don't know what they called it, but it was... You were essentially using clay dirt to build a mound to climb over a wall and then to dig through the clay to get under the next wall.
Yeah.
And then you had to... undo the big ropes that looked really, really
hard
to do. Yeah,
which were all intertwined with everyone else's ropes and idols or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a good one. And just right off the bat, you see a divide. And Tony's like a lightning rod for this stuff. Like, he always just happens to pull away or do something to kind of stir things up. And this wasn't so intentional. But at the same time, they were losing the fact that... Well, he thought that they should just team up together. And it's like... Actually, this would be a lot better if we all got over that wall as one, which everyone else agreed with except for he, Jenna, and Kayla. And this all fell to their detriment, it turns out, in the long run. But kind of a dumb move, too. Why wouldn't you just go with the group? Build this wall, get this thing faster, get all over there. Because it's not about getting over the wall and under the wall. It's about finishing that last piece, because that's where it all comes down. Every competition is always the last part of it.
Smashley got over that wall first.
First.
And then was screwed obliterated and everything else.
And just like, whatever. And she was like, screw you guys, I'm going
to
go ahead.
But what do they need her to do? Stand at the top and pull people up?
She's not strong enough for that. You get her the smallest person
over. You need to throw Corey up there first.
Yeah. It was really... poorly kind of thought out at that point, but same time, she took advantage of it. She says in her side interview, was just like, oh, they put me up first? Hell yeah, I'm going to take control of this. Yeah. And she did. Rightfully so.
Brings up a good point, though. What was this challenge? Was it an individual challenge? Was it a team challenge? Because they kept referencing, like, you were my partner. You were my partner.
We know in all challenges, though, you do have to have people to side with and work with at times, inside or outside the challenge itself. But this one was very much like, you guys figure it out. How do you want to play it? And it was a big divide at the end of it.
Yeah. Dario won for the guys. So, kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
Nicole. First girl done.
Cole.
And, of course, Corey does well. So does Shane.
Yep.
Hunter finishes last.
Not surprised.
But not really.
Yeah.
Because Bruno quit.
Yeah.
And TJ hates quitters.
The worst.
And he goes into typical Bruno, inconsolable.
Yep.
And Chuck Raines gets it. He's like, just leave him alone. When he goes up the ledge, there's no bringing him back.
He fought his brother over tuna fish, guys. Like, he's not coming back here.
And yeah, I watched the thing and I wanted to go back just because there was so much talk about partners. My partner. You were my partner. You were my partner.
Yeah.
Like, there was no partners. And then Nelson wants to fight Tony when the thing was over.
Yeah.
So.
It was kind of crazy, because it was... I took that... One time I looked at Tony and I'm like, you're actually smart at this point. You chose the right move, right? Bruno's going to go and sulk and be Bruno for a while, and you just leave him alone, because he's a firecracker when it gets down to
it. And Nelson's mad because Tony's not taking up for Bruno.
Well, he also was mad that he didn't cheer Bruno on at all. He finished ahead of him and left him kind of hanging when they could have finished ahead and... What's-his-face, the kid from Are You the One, who I'm going to forget because I don't care.
Hunter.
He would have finished last if Tony would have helped Bruno out.
And Hunter looks like he should be good at things, but...
That puzzle looked really confusing, though. Like, they did a good job with that one.
Yeah.
And you definitely needed someone to be working the other ropes to get your
idol
through.
I don't know if it was... There's no way that puzzle thing could have been equally balanced for everyone.
No. No way.
It's like, it would have been too hard to set up.
Somebody's going to get an easier one, somebody's going to get a hard one. Yeah. Not to say Bruno had the hardest one either.
No.
I just think he, in his own head, because he's living in his car, I guess, that he wants... I don't know. The guy was distracted from the
game. If I'm living in my car, I'm
winning this.
I'm winning.
Yeah. I'm climbing that wall by myself.
Yeah.
F everyone in the room, I'm out of here. But he didn't have it in him. And But I would side with Tony. It wasn't a fight that needed to be had. Nelson kind of blew up, but I understand Nelson's point. because that is his boy, necessarily, right? He should be taking care of his... Because if you really look at it, Tony could have had Bruno finish, and now they have a four-person alliance at all times. And he didn't see it that way, once again, because Tony's very short-sighted.
Yeah.
But Nelson kind of blew up, and this carried on.
Although, at least Tony, at least so far, is not being pulled into the rage.
Not yet.
He stayed calm. Marie finishes last. Bruno finishes last. They go into the elimination. Dario and Nicole, they get a spot in the Oasis. But you don't get to go until everybody gets to go.
Which is, I like. Which is great. That's one of the coolest twists they've done in a while. Because you have to do something to get there. You're not going to just walk in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to it in a minute. I want to talk a little bit more about the Oasis and this idea that I have that would make it great again. Kayla and Corey, they're already getting cozy back at the house. The skeletons, are they sticking together? Are they not sticking together? We already know they're not. They're scheming. There's politicking.
Yeah.
Is
good word.
Per Smashley. Of course she comes up with that one. And Smashley and Marie seem to be plotting as Jenna and Kayla. Mm-hmm. Probably smart.
Yeah.
We think they're probably the two most athletic girls there. The vote ends up going down to Tony going in and Kayla going in. And it was Sylvia that voted against Tony, but not she didn't put him in. He went in by two votes.
Yeah.
But can you rationalize in any scenario why Sylvia would not stick with her three people? That's a block.
Yeah. I think she's a moron. Like, once again, new people in these challenges don't do well for a reason. They don't think things through. They don't understand the conditions of things. And they have a four-person alliance ready to go. And Bruno, whoever he's pitted up against, maybe doesn't win that. But you don't want to put two against one and definitely lose one. You always want to keep your numbers.
And the other guy going up was Theo, and Theo probably would have beat Bruno too.
Possibly.
Since they were pretty much playing football.
Yeah. But, who knows with Theo? We haven't seen anything from Theo.
Yeah.
Bruno actually has a chip on his shoulder, so we think. But Tony's also bigger than Bruno. It wasn't a good matchup.
I'm trying to think, are there any, scrawny dudes there this year? I don't feel like there's any, guy that I'm like, oh, you're not good.
No, they're all pretty same size.
It's not vintage challenge where you would have got. Oh, let's put in.
I'd say Dario is probably the weakest because he's a short. He's the smallest. Other guys are kind of tall.
Maybe Tony Reigns.
Maybe Tony's tall and thin.
Yeah.
He's not much bulk to him. But we've seen Tony in these challenges. He competes and he finds ways to stay around.
Yeah, it's not like when we've had. Maybe the old Shane, or we've had...
My boy Michael Ross.
Mike Ross. They did good, though.
Did great. Him and Lee. But that had a lot to do with Roy Lee having a good, good partner at that point, too.
No, it's not... what was the guy's name? I'm drawing a blank now, but Danny from first New Orleans season was on with Kelly Limp back on the first battle of the season. He was not a threat.
No.
And there's been plenty of those scattered throughout the years, but this year, there's not a, quote, weak link that's easily identifiable.
Yeah. No, for sure. They're all pretty even. But, once again, challenge separates that pretty quickly. Because even though you might be sized the same, it's a different mindset. And if your mind's not there, your physical abilities won't matter.
Yeah. Only four of them actually went to the elimination. And I don't think they gave us a name of what... It's not the gulag or the gauntlet or the inferno.
It was elimination.
It was just the elimination.
It was also during the day, which I found really interesting. I'm like, they never do these things during the day.
Lower production cost.
Also, I'm also thinking they might be doing multiple things in a day. So, once he's done with that, they give him some time off and they get something else going. I don't know.
Because they need to speed it up to get to the champions.
Because they have so many. Right. So it might have been
what? 26 people?
Yeah. You have to go through them pretty quick. But, as you're saying about the challenge itself...
Yeah, in the trenches.
In the trenches, yeah.
Retrieving sand... So, there were only 10 sandbags, period, right?
Yeah.
And you had to get all of them.
No, I thought it was 6.
Or whatever the...
It was 3 or 4. I don't think it was 5
right,
each.
But you had to get all of them.
All of them. At one, on all
which
sides.
Is just crazy to think. This thing could have gone on for ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you had two people that were really good, they could have played that for hours.
Yeah. Imagine putting Bananas and CT in there together. Oh, my God. Or Wes back in the day.
Zach and CT.
Oh, man. Like, Goliaths right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang.
Because Zach played football. He's a wide receiver, though.
Yeah.
But he's a lot bigger than when he's...
Much bigger.
He's playing above his playing weight.
Yeah.
They're retrieving those sandbags. Kayla crushed it. Much better strategy. More also, sandbags per trip was the way to go for both of them.
Also, she looked like she knew what she was doing when she started playing. She came at her in the right, like, almost form tackle.
Tough.
Like, yeah, you could tell she's definitely got some strength behind her.
Yeah, Tony out, physical Bruno.
That first hit was nice, though. That was a good, like, pop. I mean, Bruno, I feel like they both got some licks in, but Tony just got a couple.
It's a certain mentality to run into someone like that without equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. And also two guys that know each other. Like, that's another level of detail.
All right, we're gonna go fight, but we're going to be buddies afterwards.
Yeah.
But winners won tickets to the Oasis. Tony and Kayla, I'm happy.
Yeah, it's a good win.
Now, this is where I want to pitch my idea to you. They only sent four people to the elimination. Wouldn't it have been amazing if they sent two people home and the two winners immediately to the Oasis, and you had no idea who went home and who went to the Oasis?
I thought that was going to happen. Because you hear about the elimination.
Like, why not do that?
Because you hear at the elimination, when TJ calls it, he's like, you either win a challenge or you win an elimination and you're in. Because everybody has to win something to get to the house.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I think it's a great twist.
Just like you had to win a spot in the boat.
Right.
On
you
the
gotta
island.
Win something. You can't just rest back that somebody will get you through and you'll be like the middleman for like 3 or 4 weeks. I love that story. But I thought the same thing. I'm like, man, that would be awesome if they just didn't come back. No one came back.
And you
back.
Didn't know who was in and who was out.
And if you want an elimination challenge, it's usually pretty rigorous and pretty brutal. To go hang out at a house by yourself for a couple hours or a day or whatever, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
It's a good reward for coming through. Especially when you're getting picked, not even losing a non-elimination challenge, but you lost and you actually got voted in. Or you won, you got voted in. It's like, you shouldn't even been there.
So do you think now when Kayla or Tony or Nicole or Dario, if they win again, do they get to give that spot to someone? Like, you could give keys away back on the island.
Yeah. I hope not, because I like the idea of them having to win something. My question is, do they have to keep competing?
Yeah, that was my follow-up.
I think that might be the case. Maybe you don't have to compete. Or maybe you come out first, next person actually wins.
Gotcha.
I'm hoping it's something like that, because I want to see some of these younger people put some time in there against some of these guys that have been there. Because it'll make it interesting, right? Because you see some of these younger guys that, like, skate through, and it's like, we're ready for you to go home now.
Yeah, I think it could go either way. I think they could let them give them away.
Yeah, which is also interesting.
Or just not compete. Or even the third option of compete but get passed over.
But TJ did say you had to compete in this. Like, he did have a line in there. I forgot the exact words, but basically, you had to do something to get to the next level.
We should go back and look at it, because what he says at the beginning of these is very well crafted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very specific.
Last season we saw that.
Yeah.
With Bananas and Sarah.
Yeah.
But Champions, they look strong working out. I was glad we at least got a peek at them. Bananas has a house that Sarah bought him.
God, that was such a
low blow.
Soul-crushing line.
We need to listen to the Brain Candy podcast and see if that's referenced. CT has a kid. No explanation, though.
No. Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, that's also, CT is not like any of these real-world people or road rules or are the one where you see them in the limelight very much. They don't do other things. Right. CT just basically does challenges, and you don't hear about CT anymore.
How long ago did DM die?
It's got to be
less than 2 years.
It's got to be, it's under 2 years at this point. But they weren't together near the end, though. Like, they were on and off at the end. So, yeah, I mean, obviously the kid looked about a year old or so.
Yeah.
It was pretty new, so.
No mention, though, of, like, is he dating the kid's mom? Are they together? That'll be interesting to see. Laura looks really fit. Carl looks ripped. Ashley Kay's crossfitting.
Yeah.
Champions are going to be legit.
Yeah,
and if the champions
strong.
Stick together, which they have to, and then maybe you recruit Jenna and Corey.
Yeah, easily. They know them. Yeah. They know their competitors.
Although Zach and Jenna.
Zach has two ex-girlfriends. He has Ashley from his season.
And Jenna. Too bad John A is not there, but we're not going to see John A again. She's baby mama.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
She needed to go away anyway. She was...
Oh, wait, maybe I'm wrong. Jasmine is for sure, but I think John A is also.
I'm surprised John A didn't have one before all this. But that's okay, because I worked on the season with Zach and Ashley. Probably one of the most boring seasons to watch. Better in person. But
I was a big fan of Zach and Ashley, even though they were like the sideshow.
Yes, because honestly, if they would have, I've spoken to Zach outside of the show about this, he says he wishes he would have done what he does in the challenge when he was on Real World, because he wasn't as open, he was a little more timid about being himself, yeah. And therefore he was a lot more adverse to being on camera and saying things in front of camera.
Well, and that was also the scenario where he and Ashley were like very opposed to Frank's lifestyle,
yeah.
And Sam's lifestyle. Right. So that was a different element. Confirmed, John A. did have a baby back in August.
Confirmed.
So if we could find a way to get Paula Walnuts, Mama Paula Walnuts back just for one challenge. Let me go back to how we kicked off the challenge segment. I like Sarah Rice to be there. I like Rachel Robinson to be there. I really like Paula Walnuts to be there, too.
I thought the same thing. As far as the females go, like because she's a great competitor.
Yeah. And it's too crazy that we say that now. And for really for Sarah, too, because neither one of them were very good when they first started the challenge.
No. I mean,
Paula was just a whiner.
Yeah, and she cried all the time.
And she was, I'm not calling names, but she was anorexic.
Yeah.
I mean, that was part of her storyline.
Absolutely.
But both became couple of the best there's ever been.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it'd be nice to have them, but it is nice they mix it up with people that are still valid champions, like that are going to compete well. So they didn't just fill in the gaps with some, like, you know, BS type replacements. They actually did a good job. This season's gonna be awesome, and I love the two hour and 20 minute premiere. I wish every episode was that loud.
how long do you think we go before the champions?
I think we have two more episodes. I think we go like three episodes. I figure it's a 13 episode season. You can't go that long without them, because
they're your heavy hit. It's like
you want to get them as much.
They're your
time
stars.
They're the people that people really want to see, right?
Yeah.
Also, we want to see them.
Yeah, it's not like you wait till the All Star break to play Derek Jeter.
Yeah. Honestly, it'd be kind of cool if they kind of had the next few episodes with multiple actions happening, so we see multiple people going through challenges instead of having one challenge and one non-elimination challenge and one elimination challenge per episode.
Yeah, that was a long episode to only have that happen.
They also, it was so many interstitials with the champions.
The champions, so, the backstories on what's going on with...
It always takes a while.
The challengers. I keep wanting to call them the newbies, but the challengers.
Challengers.
But before we wrap this up, we play in a Fantasy for Reality League as well for this, as well as Dano and I. Much lower scoring over there. You took a hit, though, Will. Marie and Dario, they were your last picks.
Trimming the fat, just like The Bachelor.
It's tough, though, over there. Can't really go all in on the champions. I'm hanging around in second place out of four teams. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm hanging around in third place. I'm just a little above you.
Yeah, but
it's a long season.
I'm the only one not in triple digits, which is kind of annoying. But this is it's an interesting balance in this game, because you have to pick new and old, and I think I have probably the best balance of new and old.
Blame it on Bruno.
Bruno let me down. He became kind of pathetic. It was actually, he was almost like watching part of the dates of The Bachelor talking to Bruno, because I'm like, I feel really depressed watching you, and then you underperformed for my team. Yeah. So
it's just look at your other four people, though. You're rocking both Ashley's, Corey, and Zach.
That's right. I'm stacked for the rest of the season. Trim the fat now. Don't gain more points later. I'll be good.
Yeah. After one episode, my team's not real fatty. I wasn't real excited about him to begin with. Really, Anthony, I picked last with my fat, but Darrell, Jenna, Laurel, Nelson, and Shane.
That's pretty solid.
I feel pretty good about that.
And you should. Except for Anthony. Yeah. Those guys, he's not going to last unless he
Anthony's the one that wants to be the next Miz. Did you
like that? I didn't
wanted to be
that.
The next WWE wrestler.
No. Was he also the same one that liked Marie? Or was that the other guy?
Yeah.
Hunter. No, was it him?
Yeah. It was Anthony.
I think he needs to get his eyes
the guy
checks.
With the grill.
Yeah.
But, anyhow.
Good start. Great start.
Great start. There's a lot of, I mentioned at the top of the show, a lot of other good stuff going on out there. Vanderpump Rules keeps rolling along. Tequila Katie is an awful, awful human being.
God, I feel bad for
Tom.
Tom
Schwartz.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Summer House, which is my new guilty pleasure, obsession, whatever you want to call it. It was my number two show for a while. Challenge is back. Been moved back to number three. Challenge moves into the top slot.
I'm with you. I'm looking forward to every episode now. Yeah. I'm into it.
You know what I'm afraid of? Afraid it doesn't come back.
That's a good possibility. But
come back with a new cast?
No, I think you get some new people in here because as we discussed, I think there's some people that you can easily get rid of. But I think there's a few hardcore people in there that you could keep around. Yeah.
And you haven't seen this week's episode where we learn that in the Hamptons, only five people's name can be on a lease. So only five of them are renters. The rest are guests.
Oh.
And there's a bit of a confrontation there. So, no spoilers for you or for anyone else, but go check out that. I'm loving lots of stuff right now. Loving TV. And,
It's been good, especially like this is kind of the time of year where lots of things aren't happening, especially for like network TV, you know, things like that. And
Have like a month and a half or so before some of that network TV stuff starts coming back.
Then this week, some HBO starts up, I believe, or next week. So you get some of those things happening.
Silicon Valley?
Girls is coming back. Okay. It's the last season of that. There's some other new things coming out that are pretty exciting. So TV's about to get ramped up, and my DVR is pretty full as it is, so I need to catch up. Yeah.
I'm a free agent, Will. I got plenty of time to watch reality TV.
Yeah. I'll find some time to maybe watch it with you.
Yeah. So before we get out of here, we want to remind everyone, you can find us online. Find us on Twitter, at After Reality Pod. Like the After Reality TV podcast page on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, at Spencer Kitley, all one word.
I fell over 45.
On the Twitter.
That's right. And one little fun fact about Summer House, it costs $165,000 to rent that house for the summer.
I wasn't too far off.
We're not.
I put out a big number when we talked about this.
I think we both agreed around two or just under.
Yeah.
And that's pretty close. That's without taxes, probably.
Yeah, I actually thought it might have been more.
Quite possible. It was 4,500.
165 divided by 9.
Right.
Is like, that's close to half, right?
So, pretty close. It's $45,000 a month. So that's...
So it's $5,000 a person per month.
That's insane.
So 15
There's
for the
nine
summer.
Of them living there?
Yeah.
Wow. You have
the Workus twins. You have Lindsay and...
Everett.
You have Carl and Justin. Steve. And then you have Jacqueline and Christina. And I don't think I counted right on my hands.
Yeah, and then you mentioned Carl.
Oh, and Carl.
There you go. It's actually...
Oh, wait, not Carl. Redhead guy. The BBC's.
I thought you said his name. Tim? What's his name? Dang. Too much TV to talk about. Actually, it turns out to be it's about $1,800 a person for the summer. If you divide by 9. $18,000. My calculations are off.
Yeah.
$18,000. So if you got a cool $18,000, let's go to the Hamptons.
Let's go to the Hamptons.
Let's do this.
I got no job. I got nothing to do. All right. Until next time, we'll be talking Bachelor and the Challenge for a number of weeks. Appreciate you joining us. Until we see you again, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food right here on After Reality.